So I have a confession to make. I've been coming here to church for like the last 9 months. So I've been spying on you people. And it's just been such a warm welcome and such a place where you can get fed spiritually. And I have to thank your wonderful leaders for that. So thank you. And it's good to be up here and see all these faces, actually. The scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, and specifically chapter 14, where we hear Jesus teaching and offering comfort to his friends as he prepares them for his imminent departure. And they're trying to understand how their lives will look like after he leaves. They, in essence, have no idea how to do this new life without Jesus. Jesus speaks to the hardships of their lives without him, but reassures them that they will not be left alone. And this reassurance comes as Jesus explains that there will be another, an advocate, that will be provided by the Father. And so this is where we begin our passage today. We hear Jesus promise that the advocate will take up house in the community. In fact, this advocate will take up house in you. So for the disciples and those that have come to know Jesus, they will benefit from this advocate, as the advocate resides in their hearts. This advocate goes by many different names: Comforter, Paraclete, or as we know, the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. It is that creative spirit that dwells in us and continues to create even through us. This spirit is in each of us and all around us, like breath, creating and revealing God to us all the time. So listen now for the reading for today as Jesus tells the disciples that this advocate that is within us will frame, inform, and feed our souls. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind all of you that what I have said to you. So peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Let us pray. Guide, O Lord, by your word and your Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My husband, Dwight, retired a little over 3 years ago. By the way, part of the deal of being married to a clergy person is that our story becomes fair fodder for preaching. So I have his blessing to share this with you. But needless to say, it was a transition for all of us. But he said something during that time that has really stuck with me. He said, it's like for the past 30 plus years, I woke up every morning, I went down to the bridge, I jumped off, and let the water bring me downstream. I would reach the shore and start it all over again. Now I get up, I go to the bridge, and there isn't any water. That imagery was powerful for me because it really captured that sense of uncertainty about what's next. All of us, in one way or another, come up against that question at different periods in our lives. New relationships, new job, a new home, the places where endings and beginnings meet. The pivotal moments that beg that question, what's next? And with it, all the anxiety and the excitement that comes with that asking. Dwight did have the luxury to go to work right away if he so chose to. There were those that wanted him to swim right over to their shore and get his groove on again once more. But again, he wisely said, I'm going to have to be uncomfortable sometime, so it might as well be now. And I think it's fair to say that all of us fall into the groove of a life, don't we? We have those well-worn paths that help us navigate our lives. Roles we take on that give us a sense of purpose and identity in our families, in our work, in our communities. All of that contributes to a sense of rhythm and familiarity. It feels good to know what's next. It's good to know who your people are, who you are. We grow comfortable and accustomed to our routines and our roles, and arguably so comfortable that over time we can find it increasingly uncomfortable to deviate from what we know. And I don't mean to suggest that this rhythm isn't valuable. This sense of groundedness is what helps us establish connections, form communities, and create a support system and stability. But I want you to think back on your life and remember a moment when you were thrown off course. When you felt inspired. When something unexpected seemed to take hold of you. Maybe your eyes got wide, and all you could say was, wow, or aha. Others call that God moments, or in the context of today's text, the Holy Spirit blowing through. I can identify those moments in my life when I have experienced that feeling of wow, like maybe just a few minutes ago. The feeling of being moved from where I was to a whole new way of knowing and being. I guess I would describe it as a sense of awakening. So really, think about that moment in your life where you felt that inspiration. Maybe it was at work. Maybe it was at the dinner table with your family. Maybe it was during a conversation with a friend. Maybe it was just lying in the grass looking up at the sky. But ask yourself, what revelation happened to you? What was the experience like? How did you describe it to others, and did you? I know that those moments can feel exhilarating and exciting, but they also can be disorienting and scary. I have a good friend who shared with me recently a piece by David Brooks called What is Inspiration? And Brooks described inspiration this way. He called it a revolutionary, countercultural, spiritual phenomenon. And that makes sense to me. A countercultural phenomenon. Inspiration does not speak the same language of our culture. Inspiration instead is a catalyst for change, making it that creative kick in the pants that pushes us out of our groove. And Brooks goes on to say, moments of inspiration don't quite make sense by normal logic. They feel transcendent, uncontrollable, and irresistible. When one is inspired, time disappears or alters its pace. The senses are amplified. There may be goosebumps or shivers down the spine, or a sense of being overawed by some beauty. It's a real visceral experience. Inspiration is always more active than mere appreciation. There's a thrilling feeling of elevation, a burst of energy, an awareness of enlarged possibilities. The person in the grip of inspiration has received, as if by magic, some new perception, some holistic understanding, along with the feeling that she is capable of more than she thought. Does that description resonate with you? Can you identify with that feeling being taken over by some creative energy? The spirit we heard about today in our text is that divine spark that lives within us, the place where I believe inspiration dwells. The spirit is described by Martin Copenhaver as that God that comes up through us. Through the spirit, the power and the love of God is at work through us. It can blow through us and make us stronger, sure, more faithful, more capable, and open us up to enlarged possibilities. So in those times of limbo, those in-between spaces when the edges of a new life are undefined and a new way of being is starting to unfold, whether through a job, a relationship, retirement, a move, any change, really. This is fertile territory for the spirit, for inspiration to blow in, allowing us communion with that divine spark. And then we're catapulted into a place of possibility and awe. And this is where the spirit can wreak havoc on routine and help shape, guide, and inform our what's next. What is true about inspiration is that it can't be conjured up, but it can be cultivated. And one of the ways to do that is doing what we're doing right now. We're honoring the Sabbath. We're taking time out of our lives. We're coming together to honor that countercultural pull to be doing, and instead resting in a time of worship and release. We're honing our senses, our awareness, in ways that open ourselves up to the spirit. We're pulled in so many directions. It's hard to feel okay with just taking the time to rest. But I also want to push our understanding of Sabbath time. We can take a moment of rest throughout our doing at any moment during any day. My spiritual director of many years told a story about a monk whose student was feeling burdened and saddened by the chaos of the world and asked what could he do. So the monk told his student, "Well, go make a cup of tea." That too is a Sabbath moment. It's the time out. The stepping away from life so you can take a breath and be open and let the divine creative energy take hold. So during this week, take time to make a cup of tea. The other way we can cultivate inspiration is to adopt an attitude of surrender. Surrender to letting go of the coulda, woulda, and shouldas. And I know that must feel uncomfortable, but indeed it's true and important work for us. Surrender our plans, our will, our opinions, our roles, our ideas of who we are. Surrendering, although sounds like defeat, it's truly a place of freedom. So I'm going to have another confession today. I had a really bad week last week. I was a little whiny. I was trying hard to manage my time, show up where I needed to be, and I was feeling overwhelmed. So as I whined to my friend, and I got up to rush to my next obligation, he said, "Don't tidy up." That stuck with me for the rest of the week. Again, surrendering to what is real is freeing and creates the space for the Spirit to do the work in us and softens the edges of expectations we have for ourselves and others. And it should be of no surprise that the word sabbatical has its origins in the Hebrew word Shabbat or Sabbath. And we all know why I'm here today, as a way of introduction, because Paul and Laura will begin their sabbatical in several weeks. I want to invite all of us to join them. And there's no need to panic. I'm not literally suggesting we get bikes and follow them. But it's summertime, and that time is a natural space for a time out from our full calendars. It's a really great time to practice Sabbath and cultivate that fertile ground for inspiration to take hold. So it's my hope that we too will practice this time of surrender ourselves to do what the day will bring. Surrender our roles, opinions, maybe even our cell phones and computers for a bit. And learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable as we too take our own sabbatical journey. The simple charge I have for us is to do our lives differently, even if just a little, and see what unexpected wow moments we encounter. My hope for Laura and Paul is that they will truly practice Sabbath and rest, to make room for the Spirit to do its work so they will be refreshed by new possibilities. It's my hope they will drink a lot of tea. And it's my hope that we will too. It is my hope for them that they too will surrender themselves to the whims of whatever the day will bring, to let go of their roles as ministers, community leaders, teachers, and see themselves as students of the Spirit and wait for that one ride or sunset or rainfall or conversation that's going to knock their socks off. But in the meantime, I'm going to look forward to seeing you on Sunday mornings as you honor your Sabbath time. And I look forward to hearing your stories and feeling inspired by your journeys. And so peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Amen. Loving God, how blessed are we to be together this morning. Grateful for this space full of promise, possibility, and praise. Grateful that in the midst of the chaos of our lives, whether work, school, the obligations that tug at our time and our attention, we can welcome the stillness of our souls, even if just for a breath. We know, God, that there are those with us today, maybe even ourselves, who are feeling alone, who are suffering in silence, for the loss of dreams, the loss of once loving relationships, the loss of able bodies. We know that promise and possibility feels less like a beautiful gift and more like an empty gesture. So we ask for your healing presence for those who are feeling those burdens of life, who are feeling marginalized, and where hope feels elusive. We pray for those suffering with illness in body and mind. Come heal them in unexpected ways. Help them to know you are indeed God with us, offering us peace, renewal, and restoration. And God, we ask that you shake us loose from our complacency. Help us to listen to those inner promptings that call us into a new way of being. Transform our fear into courage, courage to risk loving you and others fully and authentically. Challenge us to love more completely, especially those that are different from ourselves and those that we struggle with. Help us in our work, in our communities, and in our travels to make a difference in your creation. We pray, loving God, for peace to flood this world. We pray for the refugees in their struggle to find a home and a community, and all the places in this world searching for an end to violence and conflict that continue to wound your creation. And especially do we pray for the leaders of our world, that they may feel inspired to be transformed and lead with a vision for justice, equality, and love. We lift up to you, God, all of these prayers, those spoken and unspoken. Amen.